This is an audio archive edition of WINA's Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot, made available online by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network, cvillepodcast.com.
Brian Wheeler is the executive director of Charlottesville Tomorrow and joins us in studio every Tuesday to talk growth and development, and today is no different. Good afternoon, Brian.
Good afternoon, Coy.
Now, I said at the top of the program today that we're not only going to be talking about growth and development, because we have an election coming up in November with the Board of Supervisors and City Council. And, of course, Charlottesville Tomorrow, your organization, provides citizen information about local elections, so especially as how they deal with growth and development, which is your purview. So we won't just be talking about growth and development this year. On Tuesdays, we can talk local elections and get perspective on the local elections and campaigns and what's going on.
That's right. And we'll take calls on all of those subjects, because I think we have some prizes to give away, and we can take calls on candidates, we can take calls on growth and development, your favorite transportation project, you name it.
Absolutely. The phone lines are open at 977-1070 here at local radio, so everybody that calls during this hour gets a prize. That's how it works. If you call right in, right now, and join the conversation in some form or fashion, you get a prize. It's that simple. You want pizza, you want Mickey Tavern, you want a downtown history tour book, you want a five-day pass to Gold's Gym. Everybody that calls and joins in the conversation during this hour will not leave empty-handed. Brian, what's going on?
Well, we have got a number of candidate forums. As you said, the campaign season is in full swing, and City Council had the first candidate forum last week. That was last Thursday. And the next forum they are having is tonight. So there are five candidates for Democratic candidates seeking the nomination for three seats on City Council. The election will be this November. The Democrats are picking their candidates on June 2nd.
Do we have any Republican candidates yet?
We don't. And as I mentioned on the show last week,
wake up.
The City Republicans have said they do not expect to run a candidate. Independent candidates can still declare at any time between now and June 12th. You just need 125 signatures to get on the ballot as an independent.
Why would the Republicans not run somebody in Charlottesville?
That's a great question.
It's been proven that a Republican can win in Charlottesville. As much as the odds are against you, doesn't mean you can't win. And I don't know. I was sort of raised to believe that a principle stood for is a principle never lost. So I just don't understand why they wouldn't, as a party, as a group, say, hey, we got some smart people here. Doesn't have to be Rob Schilling. He's doing radio now. It could be somebody else, yeah. You know, somebody that wants to stand up and speak out, whether you win or lose, speak out about what, you know, your folks, your constituents, how you think things should go here.
Charlottesville Tomorrow, of course, is a nonpartisan group, but I think there is the debate is better if you have different opinions at the table.
Absolutely.
And the candidates need to get their message out, of course, but the public needs to be listening and tuning in. And that's what makes these city events so important right now, because without a Republican in the race, the city Democratic candidates, that will be the next three members of City Council from among those five. So tonight at Fry Springs Beach Club, that's what they call it, right?
Oh, is that tonight? Yeah, Fry Springs Beach Club.
They are having the next...
That's always a good one.
That's a neighborhood candidate forum. So a neighborhood, the Fry Springs Neighborhood Association, is hosting that. Starts at 7 o'clock. And would encourage the public.
7 o'clock in less than 2 hours at the Fry Spring Beach Club, a city council candidate forum. And of course, big issue, I'm sure, at that forum is going to be Biscuit Run, Fontaine Research Park, how development in that area,
right,
is going to impact that neighborhood.
Because as you know, you've had a lot of callers from the Fry Springs neighborhood call in and comment about the growth in Albemarle County just across the border. And in fact, there was a discussion with the Planning Commission in the city and City Council. As citizens came forward and said, please close Old Lynchburg Road, create a cul-de-sac, you know, at the city line, because there's so much traffic now, we can't imagine what it would be like in the future.
Yeah, but you can't do that. I mean,
no,
you really can't.
They decided to
close Old Lynchburg Road.
But that gives you a sense of where that community is.
Yeah,
the
pretty
next,
desperate, it sounds
the,
like.
The next city council candidate forum will be this Saturday after tonight. It'll be Saturday at 9:30 in the morning at the Jefferson Area Board for Aging, off of Hillsdale Drive.
And again, growth and development figuring big at that forum, I'm sure.
That one is focused on the topics of sustainability, the environment, regional planning, transportation, and it'll be moderated by Bob Gibson from the Daily Progress.
Of course, and a regular guest here on Charlottesville Right Now. And they have that road that's going up through that area, right? That what's that road called?
Hillsdale Drive is the road that goes through there now, and Hillsdale Drive Extension is one of the roads that is in the planning process right now.
Well, perhaps we'll get some details on that in our speed round
Maybe before we leave out.
Doug is on the line. Doug calling in. Doug, you're on with Brian Wheeler. Go right ahead.
Okay. Well, you stole my thunder a little bit because I was going to ask about Biscuit Run. I know that the Planning Commission unanimously disapproved of the rezoning request, but that it's still on the board. And wanted to find out kind of where that stands now and also how Biscuit Run may figure into the Board of Supervisors elections coming up and whether that's going to be an issue and how those citizens who are concerned about that might be able to make that a subject of prime interest.
Doug, stay with us. Don't hang up, Brian.
Okay.
Yeah, that's a great question. Biscuit Run was rejected by the Albemarle County Planning Commission. This, of course, is the residential, mostly residential development just south of Charlottesville on Old Lynchburg Road.
The biggest the biggest neighborhood in the history of Albemarle County.
As Coy likes to say.
As I want to say. Neither for it or against it. I just think we're making history.
3,100 homes. And it went from the way this works, it first goes to the Planning Commission, then it went to the Board of Supervisors. The supervisors said, we're not ready to see this yet. Give it another try with the Planning Commission. So they sent it back to the Planning Commission. The next public hearing will be on Tuesday, May 29th. So in 2 weeks. And that will be the next opportunity for the public, again, to provide feedback. And for something this big, every opportunity is an important one to get your comments on the table about this project. How will it affect the elections? I think it could affect city and county elections. Certainly, the Fry Springs neighborhood tonight is going to be asking a lot of questions about what the city is doing to prepare for these kinds of developments. Are the right kinds of proffers being provided by the developers? Are transportation needs being taken care of? Lindsay Dorier is the current supervisor in the Scottsville district. Last night, he got his party's nomination to seek another term on the Board of Supervisors. And one of the things he's described in some of his campaign literature...
He's a Democrat, right?
He is a Democrat. And I'm going to read from a flyer that I picked up off his table last night. He said, we need to manage growth in the designated growth areas. This would include limiting the Biscuit Run growth. Now, I'm not sure what that means. It could mean limiting it to the 3,100 homes, or it could mean something else. But but that's the type of thing when a candidate makes a statement like that at future events and forums where you have an opportunity to ask a question, that's a great one to ask. You know, what do you mean by that?
Hey, Doug, what's your take on Biscuit Run?
Oh, no rezoning. No. Keep it as it is. I prefer that not a single house go there, but I know they're by right they've got the ability to build about 900 homes.
And the rezoning would allow them to build 3,000 homes versus 900 by right.
That's right. It's zoned for a certain level of use right now. It's not the rural zoning that we have out in the countryside of Albemarle County, but it would allow, he mentioned 900 homes, might be up to 1,400 by right. So that's what, you know, they own the property. That's something they could do with existing zoning.
Could you actually explain that? Because I've heard those two different figures, the 900 and the 1,400. That seems like a pretty big difference.
Well, it's funny. Nobody's been able to put an exact number on it. It would take a lot of work to have the planning staff. We just had the anti-planner on the radio in the previous segment, and he wouldn't want planning staff working on this. But if they were to work on this, they would have to figure out, you know, exactly how many houses you could put in once you factor in stream buffers and setbacks and you know, roads and
so it's
critical slopes and things like that.
Somewhere between 900 and 1,400.
I believe 1,400 was the higher number that I've heard. And you know, one of the that's important because sometimes when we talk about proffers and what the developer should bring to the table, there's been some discussion by the County Board of Supervisors that maybe there should only be proffers that go beyond what would be required by right. So if you can do something by right, should you have to pay for improvements? If the land's already zoned for that, the thinking is, didn't somebody already account for the community's needs on that
I wouldn't
front.
See where it would make sense where you would have to.
Well, that's where you get into the notion of impact fees. Now, we don't typically do that in a rezoning, but in a by-right development, whether it's in the growth area or out in the rural parts of Albemarle, impact fees, and Albemarle County will have new authority to use those after July 1st, you might be able to get a per-household impact fee.
Yeah. Doug, you're against the development there. Why?
Yes. Well, part of it is not in my backyard, because it literally is my backyard. I'm a Mill Creek South resident. And I'm just, one of the things that drew me to this area was the pastoral setting and the quality of life, and I think it's been severely jeopardized over the past 25 years that I've been here. And it's just, it's heartbreaking to see. I think we've maxed out. I think we need to look carefully at what the maximum potential for growth is here, and if we haven't already exceeded it.
Doug, two of the issues that the Planning Commission is going to look at closely will be sewer capacity and transportation. Those are the two big outstanding issues that they will be looking at. The developer has also come forward with a whole list of new proffers, including a large investment in public transit. One of the contrary to what Doug is saying, you know, it is a designated growth area. Others on the Planning Commission and the Board of Supervisors have said 3,100 homes is not enough. If we're going to develop that, we should have higher density. That's where we want the homes to be.
Yeah. The county wants to pack in that urban ring around the core, around the urban core of Charlottesville. And if you're going to have them, put them in there, pack them in.
And does that impact the quality of life of those around it? Absolutely. If you don't invest in the infrastructure, and sewer and transportation are the two big ones that people have asked about. This development will come forward with a school site, so there'll be a place for a school. It doesn't pay for building the school, but at least reserve some land for that. In general, developments like this are a fiscal drain on the county because there's not enough retail or commercial activity to balance off the cost of the needs for the housing.
Is, as it's drawn out now, is retail or commercial activity part of Biscuit Run, or is it just homes?
But it's a small amount. And so because it's a small amount, there's a net negative impact.
It's small, but is it as big as, say, what's the new shopping center down? When I lived in Mill Creek, there was no shopping center down there. They have a Food Lion down there now. That little shopping center, you know what I'm talking about, Doug?
Yeah, Southside it's called.
Southside. Is it as big as what Southside is
now? I think it's bigger than that. But I'm not. I want to say it's 150,000 square feet, which might put it a little bigger than that complex.
Okay, but not much bigger.
Not much.
Okay.
And they can go taller too. So that would allow some.
But you were saying that it's a drain because folks who move into those homes have kids who have to be educated, and that's what's really expensive.
That's right.
Plus all the cars.
That's right.
And the improvements to the road infrastructure.
Yep.
And
another big issue for Mill Creek South, of course, is interconnectivity. And some of the residents there have expressed concern. In fact, they went to the developer and said, do not connect us to your neighborhood. And, of course, the planners and the people thinking about the neighborhood model and interconnected neighborhoods.
They like that.
They want.
They want to open those roads up, don't they?
In fact, they want to force them to be interconnected. And that would allow trips to travel from Mill Creek South directly to the new elementary school, directly to the new grocery store, without getting on Avon Street.
Yeah.
So that is something the community is going to continue to wrestle with.
Doug,
and if you know what the main road in our subdivision is like, it's sometimes difficult to get two cars going opposite directions by each other. That's how narrow it is.
And you're right. We need streets designed in such a way that they're safe for pedestrians, have sidewalks. And the newer neighborhoods, those things are being built that way.
And Mill Creek wasn't built that way, though. Because
it was not. It's pre-neighborhood model, so
yeah.
It doesn't have the same
and
amenities.
And you see folks all the time in Mill Creek walking out.
Exactly.
There's no sidewalks, so they're walking on the road.
With their baby carriages and
yeah,
their dogs.
Yeah, it's crazy.
That discussion happened up on Pantops with the Cascadia Project, and the folks in the, I want to say, Franklin Drive neighborhood area said, okay, go ahead and plan on a connection, but don't do it. You know, allow it to be pedestrian and emergency vehicles, but don't run it through for vehicles until you come in and put sidewalks and widen our streets.
Doug, great call. You want some pizza?
Sure.
Okay, hold on just a minute. We'll put you on hold. He's on one, Matt. And let's go real quick to Betty is on line two. Betty, I have time for a quick call. Go ahead.
Okay, quickly, you also have to mention the need for water. Because right now we're talking about a new plan for water for our entire area. And Biscuit Run would put a huge burden on not only the sewer system, which is totally maxed out, but any future water needs we might have.
You're right, Betty. There's some good news, bad news. The good news is there is a 50-year water supply plan that does take into account development at Biscuit Run. So as we replace the dam at the Ragged Mountain Reservoir, they're going to raise the pool 45 feet. We get a bigger bathtub to collect water. Then a pipeline has to be connected to the South Fork Reservoir. That is a complex water system. The good news is we're collecting it from our own watershed, so it's water falling in a areas that we have control over. And
can I just say one thing? That's a $135 million project.
That's right.
That's the bad news.
The burden of that money is going to fall on all of us, and it's going to fund these future residents. We're going to have to pay for it. Now, the city owns the land, and I don't think it's yet agreed on that this is going to be 45 feet high, and I don't think it's yet agreed on that the city necessarily is going to put this burden, this financial burden, on city residents. They own Ragged Mountain. They own that land.
Well, it will be paid by the ratepayers primarily.
Which
those on public water.
Yeah.
Those who are not on public water, on wells and septic, won't face these costs. But as a community, most of us will pay for that. Businesses will pay for that.
So I think this is political. You know, there's still some political issues here that are to be decided by our leaders, and I don't think this is a done deal. So I don't think Biscuit Run can just say, well, we have this 50-year plan and it's going to fund all our water needs, because it's really not decided yet.
Yep, the water supply plan is pretty much a done deal, approved by both the county, the city, and the Ravenna Water and Sewer Authority.
But I think how high it's going to go has not really been decided.
That may be phased, but they're certainly targeting 45 feet.
Okay, well, I think we'll see about this, how this goes.
Hey, Betty, thanks for the call. You want some pizza?
Thanks.
Of course you do. Hold on just 1 second. Matt, she's on two, and we are going to take a break here at the bottom of the hour for local news and weather and continue this discussion on the other side. Eric, stay with us. Phone lines are open at 977-1070. Let's continue our discussion with Brian Wheeler, the executive director of Charlottesville Tomorrow. And wait no more, Eric. Let's go back to the phones, 977-1070. Eric has been waiting quite patiently, enjoying a little radio on his phone. Eric, go right ahead.
I just kind of caught the tail end of what you guys were talking about, Coy. This has to do with a Biscuit Run and water supply, is that right?
Yes, we were talking about that in the last segment. Yes, absolutely.
Well, I think that the taxpayers and property owners here in this area have already suffered enough from the latest boom in taxes. Why not have impact fees for the people who are building in those large subdivisions and put some of that responsibility on the people who are developing the land, for water?
Eric, it's great that you mentioned that. We've talked about it a little bit, but the impact fees are something new. That's something that Albemarle County has asked for years and years and years and never had authority from Richmond to use them. Now, with the recent General Assembly session, there is that enabling authority for a locality like Albemarle to levy an impact fee. Interestingly,
right,
it typically wouldn't apply in a rezoning like Biscuit Run. In a rezoning, you get proffers and not impact fees. So the proffers are in this project are addressing a lot of other things, not really water supply. It's certainly going to address some issues on the sewer side and treatment capacity, more focused on transportation, public transit, and amenities within the project, proffer for a park that is apparently growing in size and things like that.
Right.
But I think you are right to raise that point, and I hear that a lot, that people are concerned about the cost of infrastructure, and they expect long-range plans to figure out these things and to share the cost with everybody.
Exactly, and I don't think it's fair that we pay for those developments and those costs. And also, I mean, these properties that you're talking about, how about the impact on like firefighting and for these locations where you need water, in these places?
Firefighting, police, those are all things talked about in the recent county budget.
Right.
And in fact, the county had to back off where it wanted to be as far as law enforcement and fire rescue. You're absolutely right. As we add more houses that need to be protected, that's a growing part of the county's budget, building fire stations.
But the what I mean is that in terms of the water supply and for fire suppression, some of that responsibility has to be put on the builders and have them build cisterns or something in those communities that they can kind of support whatever existing water supply.
Yeah,
firefighting.
I'm not an expert on the need for water as far as firefighting. Once there's public water in Biscuit Run, there'll certainly be hydrants for them to use for that purpose. But the bigger question that the previous caller talked about, Coy, is, do we have a plan for a long-range water supply? The good news is we do. The bad news is it's very expensive. And then on the treatment side, it's also very expensive, and we don't have the cost estimate on the sewer side yet.
Right.
Eric, a great call.
Well, thank you.
Hey, Eric, hang on. You want some pizza?
Sure.
Okay, hold on just a minute. Matt will tell you, we'll give you some free pizza. Everybody who joins the conversation this hour gets whatever you want, free pizza, coffee, or I do have a five-day pass to Gold's Gym, the new Gold's Gym, if somebody wants that, 977-1070.
Great. What do you want to talk about next, Clay?
A reminder, that tonight in just over an hour at 7 o'clock, there's a city council candidate forum at the Fry Spring Beach Club. And, of course, Biscuit Run will likely be one of the main topics, as well as the expansion of the bridge there over the railroad tracks. They'll be talking about that, I'm sure.
Yep.
And also a reminder that all of these things, if you can't make the candidate forum tonight, you can get audio podcasts, video podcasts from our local C-SPAN. Seaville Tomorrow is turning out to be our local C-SPAN online at SeavilleTomorrow.org.
We're having a lot of fun with that, Coy. We are now going with cameras in tow, and we sort of have this little one-man, two-man portable recording studio. But the logistics of this are much more complicated, I'm learning, than a typical news organization. You know, the news organizations are coming in, they're getting a few sound bites, a few video clips, they call it B-roll, whatever that is, and they take that back to the studio and they have their little, you know, 30-second spot on the news or on the radio for WINA. Whereas we're trying to cover it gavel to gavel, and it means we have to have the cameras rolling, the audio rolling, and it all has to work. From start to finish.
Those batteries better be
charged.
And so
when people are walking in front of the camera, I'm like waving my arms like, duck, duck. David Toscano was walking by last night. I'm like waving at him, duck, please, so that he wouldn't interrupt the camera show.
Well, it really is terrific, a terrific resource for the community that you can just go to Seaville Tomorrow and just explore that website. And there's all sorts of, like, for example, the Democratic caucus last night in the county. You pretty much have gavel-to-gavel coverage of that caucus.
We do. We didn't cover the non-supervisor candidates, but Marsha Joseph's acceptance speech, Ann Malik running in Whitehall, her acceptance speech, and then we have the audio of Kevin Fletcher and Lindsay Dorier, who competed for the Scottsville District nomination.
And remind folks what the nominations were. The Democrats put forth what candidates for what seats?
Those were for three supervisor seats for the Whitehall District. It's Ann Malik. For the Ravana District, it's Marsha Joseph, who's the current chair of the Planning Commission. And then in the Scottsville District, Lindsay Dorier got the nomination to seek re-election for that seat. All of these are up on the November ballot. This is the slate of Democratic nominees. There are independents running. Of course, Tom Loach is running in Whitehall. Denny King is running in Scottsville. And the Republicans are having their caucus on Thursday night. So we'll do the same treatment for them. Thursday night, 6:30 is when they're going to open the doors at Lane Auditorium. Now, the Republicans don't have any challenged nominations. So Ken Boyd is seeking the party's nomination for another term as the Republican representing the Ravana District. And David Wyant is seeking another term as the Republican representing Whitehall, Crozet area. So we'll cover that. We'll get their speeches online for everybody, and people can take a look at it.
Brian Wheeler is the executive director of Charlottesville Tomorrow. If you'd like to join this conversation and get something free, it's 977-1070. Margo's online, too. Margo,
yes,
go
hi,
right
how
ahead.
How are you doing?
Doing great. How are you doing?
Hello, good. Margo.
Good. I was wondering about Albemarle Place, and now that they've discovered that the sewer system in Charlottesville can't handle it, what's next? What's next?
Well, we're all waiting to hear the answer to that question.
Will it flush or won't it?
There are lots of rumors, and I don't really have any firsthand additional information. Jason Whitehead has been covering that for Seaville and doing a lot of work on that story and the sewer capacity issue. We're waiting to hear, you know, what's going to be required to upgrade that pipe that goes to the Moores Creek treatment facility. Similar situation with Biscuit Run.
And again, who has to pay for that?
Well, that's going to be paid for by, again, the users.
Who? What does that mean?
The people on public water and sewer.
Ooh.
Meaning us.
All of those rates are going up. There's a meeting next week that is on our calendar that we will be at. It's one of those little meetings nobody would ever go to except crazy people like us.
It seems to me as though Charlottesville is becoming less and less advantageous to live in.
Well, it's, you know, the growth has cost. So as we grow as a community, you have to plan for that infrastructure, whether it's schools, roads, water, and sewer. And what I think we're seeing right now is that with new leadership at the Ravana Water and Sewer Authority, they've started asking some of these questions. Do we have enough capacity? Oh, you've got a big development coming along. We better make sure that there's enough room to handle what's coming out of there. There's also new regulations related to the Chesapeake Bay, where they have to limit the amount of nutrients being discharged into the Ravana River. That's going to require an upgrade to our sewer facility. So all of these things are coming into play. You're right. It's reaching ahead right now. And we'll be at the Albemarle County Service Authority meeting on the 24th to see what they have to say about wastewater rates related to Biscuit Run and things like Albemarle Place.
Margo, you're not planning on moving, are you?
No.
You better not. We enjoy you living here.
Oh, I enjoy it, too. But I just have one last question
real quick.
And that is, you know, as they pack in Charlottesville, doesn't that put more emphasis and more desirability and on the surrounding area for development?
Well, it's...
Development of, like, little satellite communities.
Well, their advantage, you know, we do have satellite communities. We have Crozet, we have Glenmore, the Ravana Village area. And one of the challenges with those satellites is that they're not as connected to this other growth. So you have this, you might say, a dysfunctional settlement pattern. And what we want is to be able to better support with roads and water and sewer is to have those designated growth areas, I think. And the city is one of those designated growth areas for our community. You're seeing a lot of projects approved in the growth areas that will bring more housing. Thousands of units have been approved and not built in the city and the county. And there's a reason why they're going in the growth area. That's where the government officials want them. That's where the comprehensive plan wants that growth.
Hey, Margo, do you like lunch at Mickey Tavern?
Oh, yes, I'd love it.
Okay, hold on just a minute. Matt will tell you how to get that. Matt, she's on two. Let's give lunch for two to Mickey Tavern. And we're going to take a quick break. And when we get back, it's time for the speed round.
I'm ready for you.
It's, hold on just 1 minute. Let me see. Try that again. I've been out of practice for a while.
I'm sweating bullets over here.
It's time for the speed round with Brian Wheeler, the executive director of Charlottesville Tomorrow. Tonight's topic is road projects in our area. So let's start off with the widening of Route 29 between Hollymead and Walmart. Brian?
You would think we would have done that already, but it's on the wish list. It needs state funding. There is no ETA for that upgrade.
The Hillsdale Drive extension. Remind me what it is, where it is, and where are we with that?
This extends Hillsdale past the senior center through that giant Kmart shopping center through the terrace, the old terrace triple theater to Hydraulic. They just had a public meeting. They're entering the preliminary design phase. Construction in 2010 needs money.
The Meadow Creek Parkway on the books since 1967.
It's a $67 million project now in three parts, two in the city, one in the county. Construction's expected to begin in 2008. They're acquiring the right-of-way. Watch this year for increased cost estimates and continued funding challenges.
You know, can I just take a pause here in our speed round? I've never understood the thing about the Meadow Creek Parkway that we pay so much for this grade separated interchange at McIntyre and 250 so that folks don't have to stop on the parkway as they go, that you can get across 250, only to go a few hundred yards and then have to stop at what's the road that the high school's on?
Yeah. Melbourne Road.
A stop at Melbourne Road, because there's no plan for a grade separated interchange
Your plan was to put in a roundabout. I like that.
Why don't we put in a roundabout at Melbourne? It makes all the sense in the world to me. On a similar note, the Meadow Creek Parkway interchange online at 250interchange.org.
The committee has just recommended a design. As you said, it's grade separated, has a roundabout underneath it, and it's funded for now. Expect it to start in 2008.
The grade separated interchange at Hydraulic and Route 29. Boy, that's on everybody's wish list.
Just outside of Albemarle Place, the future Albemarle Place, the design is being finalized. It's on the transportation wish list, but there is no funding to build that.
Why? But we play these, but this doesn't make any sense to me. We pay these planners in the county. I sound like Randall O'Toole. It doesn't make any sense to pay these planners in the county to design all this stuff.
In this
day
case,
after day
did.
After day, we don't have any money for
it. Well, in this case, it makes sense because the developer, Frank Cox, needs to know where to locate his buildings within Albemarle Place to allow for a future interchange. So the design is being done. They're going to try to figure out how to phase the construction in such a way that traffic can keep moving on 29 and things like that.
My very favorite road project that's ever been suggested in Central Virginia, the Eastern Connector. Not that I would probably use it that much, but remind folks what it is and what's up with the Eastern Connector.
We have big news for you, Coy. The Eastern Connector would allow traffic from, say, 29 to get over to Pantops via either one of three probable places, Prophet Road, Polo Grounds Road, or straight through Penn Park. And then it would cross over to Route 20. So that's the idea behind the Eastern Connector, how to get traffic moving between Pantops and 29 North. The location study is underway. It's jointly funded by the city and the county. Public meetings are scheduled for next week, May 22nd, May 24th. SeavilleTomorrow.org, our calendar has the details. There is no funding to build it. But there's a location study underway. Need money.
It's what Americans we are. One day we're going to have a lot of money. Let's go ahead and plan for it. You know, Brian, I spent this past weekend driving around the mountains of North Carolina, and you see, we're looking at the map, and you see in a lot of these growing cities, they start building beltways. They start building these little beltways. You really see it in parts of North Carolina. Like I'm thinking of Charlotte, where we were. But we don't have anything like that, do we? But this Eastern Connector is sort of part of what would be a beltway, isn't it?
Well,
it's sort of like the northeastern ring.
It's another path to alleviate congestion. The Charlottesville area has been looking at lots of different strategies, whether it's the Meadow Creek Parkway, Eastern Connector, widening 29, synchronizing the lights on 29. Those things have helped the 29 corridor a lot. We need to widen 29 at its constricted points.
Sorry, the Fontaine Avenue Sunset Connector.
This is a city-county priority to get traffic from the county's urban area around Redfields, further south, Biscuit Run, over towards the Fontaine Research Park and Fontaine Avenue. That is expected to be part of the development of the Granger property and would be part of a proffer.
Jarman's Gap Road, real quick.
This is a Crozet Road connecting the Old Trail, Gray Rock neighborhood area to downtown Crozet, now split into two phases, expected to start in 2010. Coy, it's not fully funded.
Brian Wheeler is the executive director of Charlottesville Tomorrow, bringing us all the news about these beautiful roads that we have no money for.
You've been listening to WINA's Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot. The show can be heard every Monday through Friday from 4 to 6 o'clock on News Radio 1070 WINA. This is the Charlottesville Podcasting Network at SeavillePodcast.com. If you enjoyed the show, why not check out our site for hours and hours of archives of Coy's show? You'll also find other radio programs, arts features, public affairs coverage, and more.